This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Shout out to the Tolos, Bobby Bell fist pumping at home in Flower Mound, RJ Choppy in Roanoke. Like a dummy, I'm sitting here in studio with Peyton Russell and Ryan, and things just took a little turn here in Dallas. Right here, 75 and Fitzhugh, it's starting to get white. I told the boss, you're at home right now. If you see that it's getting bad, I'm walking up out of here. I am not getting stuck in this radio station. So if it starts getting, man, they timed out 8 a.m., Choppy, what you were talking about on our group text.
Yeah, they hit it. You know, we give weathermen and women some grief every now and then, meteorologists, but they nailed that 8 a.m. They said 8 a.m. is going to start to hit, and boy, did it ever. Yeah. 8 a.m. right downtown Dallas.
So all the buildings now are starting to get covered, but I'm checking out the road, so... what is that going to be like driving home? Peyton, you're staying at the hotel again, right across the street?
Yeah, I'm about 600 feet away. So, hey, if you need a place to stay, I mean,
You know what? Maybe I'll get a hotel room.
You can be right next door. There's no one next door to me. We could be like roommates.
How do you know that?
Oh, I haven't heard them, so I assume they're not there.
They could be dead.
Freaking Aaron Andrews.
They may have OD'd.
Oh, jeez.
Aaron Andrews over here drilling holes and drilling peepholes in. So it looks like it is, it's gotten worse here in Dallas. It was nothing East Dallas when I woke up this morning. It was totally fine, but now it looks like it's coming down. Dan Brunoff joined us about 45 minutes ago from 1080 and said, this thing's going till Thursday. Worst winter storm he's seen since the 70s. But Bobby, we still got some of the Twolos and YouTube, as I almost burped.
Yeah. Yeah, the Twolos and the YouTube are popping. We got a bunch of people in there, and so even when the folks aren't out there on the road listening in their car, we know we got them stacked up on the stream because they are everywhere right now, man.
Thank you guys for tuning in. You're appreciated.
You're appreciated.
All right, Choppy.
Here's the map as we're currently looking at it, Sean. As you can see, a lot of sleet here around, especially South Dallas. I don't know how to do it. There we go. South Dallas, like right around there. If you live out further, where is that? Is that east? Yeah. East. Yeah. If you live out further east, as you can see, it looks like Barney sneezed. It's just a lot of purple, and it's disgusting. And you know, be safe out there, people.
Is that an up-to-date map that you just did your weather forecast on?
I just took it from AccuWeather. So as you can see here, there we go. And, you know, back to you, Sean.
Nice job. Choppy used to have the best backgrounds on this show, but Bobby already trolling the San Francisco radio hosts with pastrami and rye, and now he's being Bobby Delkis with the meteorology.
Yeah, I dropped the – I can't find my green screen. It's upstairs somewhere.
That's a hard
somewhere.
Thing to lose, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's upstairs somewhere. Plus, you know, I mean, I've got a 90 caliber bullet from World War II. I figured that was cool enough, but whatever.
Whoa, is that?
Yeah, it's my grandfather gave this to me. It was like one when he was in World War II. It's like
holy
a mortar.
Crap.
I guess one of those mortar rounds, like where they go clear and the thing shoots up in the air.
Whoa, that thing's a monster.
Yeah,
I thought it was
It's huge.
Something,
man.
I know
that's
very
a two-hander right there.
It is a two-hander. But, you know, this thing, it's heavier than you know what. You take the top off this thing. I mean, look at the size. That's the bullet part. That's
look
what
at
goes
the size
through
of that head, Sean.
And it's sharp. It's got a nice tip on it. A very nice tip.
Just the tip, though.
There you go. 90 caliber.
That's America. That's a beast, America.
That's how your grandma lived to be 100.
That's it. That's exactly how she lived to be. Wrong grandma, but that was in her 92.
I thought that was the thing that killed her.
Yeah, it may have been.
All right. Talking about enough death on this show. Conference championship game weekend. Let's get to some overreactions or not. Ralph James.
All right. Let's do it. Burrow-Mahomes rivalry is already better than Mahomes-Allen.
Ooh.
Ooh. Not an overreaction. Man, it's tough because, it's hard for me to top anything than what we saw with Allen and Mahomes in the playoffs last year. That game was – it's going to go down as an all-timer. And I think it just shows, like, look, this is what elite quarterback play looks like when you can go back and forth like this. But in terms of just these games that they've played and how intense they've been and how this rivalry has grown, then, yeah, I think it's fair to say the most intriguing matchup that exists in the NFL right now is Burrow versus Mahomes.
Not an overreaction. I think that because of the trash talk, because of Burrow head and Travis Kelce, Mahomes Burrow is better. Plus, the fact that Burrow still has the edge makes it more intriguing to me now that Buffalo has taken the biggest knock. Have the Bills gotten, by the way, killed as much as they should have for getting eliminated? Or should they not get killed that they're taking on the defending AFC champs, but they got smoked in that game?
Yeah, I mean, to me, like,
they're not taking any national heat, right?
None. They did lose to a great team. They did lose to a great quarterback. So it's not like they couldn't have. Nobody could have seen that coming, you know, but the Cowboys take way more grief than the Bills do. But listen, you know, the Chargers blew a 27-point game. We've forgotten about that. They didn't catch any heat, really. The Cowboys caught way more heat than the Chargers did. So it's just the nature of who you play for. You play for the Cowboys, you're going to catch heat.
I think Mahomes Burrow is better than Mahomes Allen, so not an overreaction to me.
You know, my thing with this is like you said, the trash talk. Mahomes is boring. Allen is boring, personality-wise, boring. Burrow is the only one with personality. I think you got to have him in there.
Burrow didn't even say anything, and it became trash talk. It was his teammates.
Right. Yeah. All right. Here you go. Another one. Another Mahomes one. Mahomes' legacy needed this win over Burrow more than he needs to win the Super Bowl in 2 weeks.
Bobby, this is your legacy topic. Repeat.
So he needed to beat Burrow for his more than he needs to win the Super Bowl in 2 weeks, getting over that Burrow hump.
Not an overreaction. He had already shown he can win a Super Bowl. He's been to 5 AFC titles. Burrow was a question. Like, it was an issue of what we all sat here on the show. We kept referring to Cincinnati and Burrow as his kryptonite. Like, and I mean, you talk about, we referenced it yesterday. The only guys he's lost to in the playoffs are Brady and Burrow. He was 9-0 against everybody else going into that game. I don't think it would have hampered his legacy, but if you lose that game and you've lost 4 in 2 years, including 2 playoff games, you're talking about at home as well, then, yeah, I think some questions start coming up and going, all right, is this, you know, is Patrick Mahomes, is he dealing with his version of Tom Brady that Peyton Manning had to deal with? So, no, not an overreaction.
Not an overreaction and a very, very interesting question.
Okay, thank you very much. Another Mahomes one. Mahomes doing all this by 27 is more impressive than Brady doing all that after 40.
Ooh.
Oh, okay. You put after 40 on it.
Do you have the resumes?
Yeah. So obviously Mahomes been to 5 straight AFC championship games.
Title.
And winning the Super Bowl. And after 40, Tom Bean going to a new team, winning a Super Bowl. And he had another Super Bowl with the Patriots as well just after he had turned that 40.
So 2 Super Bowl appearances, 1 title, led the league in touchdown passes after 40?
Yeah, because he won in 2018. Ooh. He won his last one in New England. And then that's 5 years ago, and he's 45 years old. And they, of course, won it in 2020, right? So there you go. There's your years of Brady plus lead the league in touchdowns, going to a new team, winning without Bill, or going to 5 straight conference championship games, now 3 Super Bowls, having one in the bag already for Patrick Mahomes?
That's a great question.
Thank you.
Overreaction.
Why?
Because I think that, like, I mean, just look at, like, the QBRs Brady put up since he's been 40. 70, 68, he had a 55, but then a 66, 68, 50. Like, to be able to do that, lead the league in touchdown passes, ramp up his attempts higher than he ever has before. I mean, we're talking about this guy's throwing, like, 800 passes a year almost now as a guy in his mid-40s, went to another team, immediately won a Super Bowl with them. It's honestly, like, kind of similar in a way to, like, sort of the Jordan-LeBron question, like what Jordan did as a champion versus, like, well, yeah, but look, LeBron's in the finals every year, and even though he hasn't won as many, like, look what he's done here. But I would say no, and they're both incredibly impressive. I don't want to discount either, but I think Brady doing what he's done after 37 is insane.
Tom's is more impressive. I had to think about it, though. No one will ever do what Brady did ever again. And someone could do what Mahomes has done. Donovan McNabb, right? They weren't all at home, but 4 straight NFC championship games, the Buffalo Bills, like, we've seen that. I don't think we'll ever see Brady again, even though medicine and age and people playing older, I don't think this will ever happen. So Tom's is more impressive to me.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, just the amount of things he's done over 40, it's really remarkable. Like, it's like you said.
Think about yourself. Like, it really gets put into perspective with us.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sitting here, and I'm like, yesterday, I was like, am I having a heart attack? Like, my chest is a little jumpy. And then this morning, like, and then my neck, like, I slept wrong. But I was like, okay, that means it's going up through the left side. That's what they say. And then I'm like, oh, my right hip this morning, did I sleep the wrong, this, that? I'm 40 years old. And this man's getting hit in NFL games.
Oh, yeah,
it's stupid.
Crazy.
He is? I thought they flag you if you even touched Tom Brady.
Oh, there you go.
No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm thinking about Chop. Remember your back like 2 weeks ago? You couldn't move with your back for like a week.
Me and RJ exchanged heating pads.
Yeah. Yeah.
We had a heating pad in studio here.
Yeah.
No joke.
A little bit different. A little different than us and Tom. Okay. Travis Kelce is the best tight end of all time.
Oh, Bobby, say it. Oh, Bobby.
Why are you doing the Kenneth Kniff voice from the Eminem album?
Say it.
Kenneth Kniff from Connecticut. It's not an overreaction for his entire career. At the time, last year when I said that, Sean, we were talking about just where they were at as players just then. But Kelce has, like, ramped it back up again. He's playing great. And what was the note I sent to you guys the other day? He's second behind Jerry Rice in career playoff receptions, yards, and touchdowns. Everything else, like, he's ahead of everybody but Rice in playoff receptions, receiving yards, and touchdowns as a freaking tight end.
Wow. Peyton, the new school pop quiz for you. So Kelce or Gronk? Best tight end ever.
New school.
Kelce. Without a doubt.
Without a doubt.
Yes.
RJ?
I think Kelce.
Is Gronk still, like, more physically gifted? I got to see the games played, too, because I do have to hold it against Gronk a little bit. Like, if I had one game tomorrow to win, I'm probably picking Gronk, but career-wise, I think I'm leaning Travis.
Yeah, if I had, like, If I was in the red zone, if I had one touchdown I needed to get, I'm taking Gronk every day of the week.
Yeah.
You know, but, like, yeah, Kelce, dude, like, he's a great route runner. He's got speed. He's a really tough mismatch. Good hands.
You can't knock one for quarterback, right? You can't give one the benefit because one played with Tom, one played with Pat.
Yeah. I mean, they both play with elite quarterbacks. And, yeah, it's now Gronk's quarterback was different, right? It was more a timing situation, whereas I wonder how much Kelce gets because Mahomes, you know, scrambles and finds the open man, but different players. But, man, I think Kelce has it.
All right.
Boy, I forget how just freakish an athlete Gronk was.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Probably the biggest freak in the history of the National Football League athletically at tight end, with Antonio Gates right up there. Like, Gronk is the biggest freak at tight end ever.
Agree.
I don't think it's close.
probably I'd have to think and see if there's anybody else, but yeah, I mean, like I said, we saw at the end him limping and how much he lumbered, and like it just kind of makes you forget. But I'm just looking at his like testing here from the comment. He was an insane athlete.
And Aaron Hernandez was too. 877-881-1053. He was. Don't give me that look.
Literally an insane athlete. You're right. He was an insane athlete.
All right. Overreactions or not from conference championship weekend. Luka goes off for 53. And does anybody know Major League Baseball's new cover boy? We'll talk about it on the Home of the Rangers with Sean, RJ, and Bobby next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Alec Burks, a shot, Luka, rebound, ball game over, put it in the win column for Dallas, behind 53 from Luka, Mavs 111, Pistons 105, Mavs are 27 and 25.
They were down. It took all 53 for the Mavs in Luka's return to survive against the lowly Detroit Pistons at the AAC. Good morning, Metroplex. It's Sean, RJ, and Bobby. The boss gave me the green light to roll out and get home, but I think I'll stay till the end of the hour. Ryan, you're in Fort Worth. You need to get out of here now. So set up the camera, Twitch, YouTube, and roll on out for that drive. But it's starting to get covered here on 75 with the whiteness. We got Bobby in Flower Mound. We got Choppy in Roanoke. And hopefully you guys are being safe and careful out there. So Callie Kaplan, Dallas Morning News. I don't know whether she's Mark Cuban's mouthpiece like they say Brad Townsend is, but she reported yesterday that, and everyone's got a mouthpiece, right? And good yeah, for sure. you being and good for you being the mouthpiece. That's not an insult unless you're unable to be objective. That's why Hagelin always like attacks the Dallas Morning News writer, who I don't think I've ever met, but like David Moore, Jerry, am I going to get in trouble for this? Whatever. Everyone knows anyway. Jerry Jones or someone at the Cowboys still thinks that newspapers are in existence. And whenever a big story comes up, look at Bobby's smile. He's like so happy I'm saying this right now because I'm the one. Whenever a big story comes up, everyone believes that Jerry will like leak it to David Moore, Dallas Morning News. And I want to ask Jerry one time, like, hey, why don't prioritize the newspaper anymore, especially the Dallas Morning News? What are you doing? Give it to 105.3 The Fan. Yeah. Come on here and break news. That's how David Moore got the Kellen Moore story / Mike McCarthy, because David Moore gets fed this, we think, from the people up top in the Cowboys front office, just like Brad Townsend apparently from Mark Cuban. That's what everyone says.
Who would your mouthpiece be, Sean?
Who gives me info?
No. Who would your mouthpiece be if you were in that position? Like, who are you like, this is who I'm feeding all my stuff to?
Oh, what reporter?
Yes.
I think I could probably start off the opposite end of who it wouldn't be. No, I'm joking. I don't know. I'd have to think about that. Who I really, really like. Well, my Cowboys person would be you, Bobby, or Broadus. Although I don't know, Viva Broadus. Broadus, I'm more scared about taking off Broadus than Jerry Jones. Broadus might make another phone call because he really, what's it called when you're making sure that you flush
verify?
It?
Verify?
No. He really tries to check everything, so he might make another phone call. If I wanted to totally, completely stay in-house, I may give it to Bobby Belt. Because Broadus may make a second or a third phone call to another GM, and it'd be on a G-Bag segment. There you go. I got it out of that smoothly.
In your face, Slater. Sean would pick me.
Sandler for Rangers, and then, I don't know, for Hoops. Choppy?
In-house, I think I would probably...
I wouldn't give it to Bassick. Bassick would call 15 people, too, for basketball.
Yeah.
You got CA there. You got KG.
Touchdown.
I'm trying to think who else covers.
Ruben. Yeah.
I mean, McMahon. If McMahon followed me on Twitter, I'd give it to him. He doesn't follow me, so I would. I'd eliminate people through pettiness. You know?
That's
like
that's
Levi Weaver. I don't like that guy, Levi Weaver. He doesn't follow me, so I wouldn't give that to him over
Come
with the Rangers.
On, I like Levi. Okay. If
we're going outside the house, I'd probably do Archer because I know he doesn't talk at all. He never says more than five words, so it would never
leaked.
Yeah, he's a vault. It would never get leaked. In-house?
Mine would be Edwarder.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. I can see that. I can see that happening. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, if you want to get it out, though, you got to get it out with somebody with a voice. I would give it to Sean.
Oh.
If you want to get it out.
And I'm a blabbermouth, too, when the microphone goes on. So there you go. Okay, so Callie Kaplan, Dallas Morning News, says that Cuban's willing to trade anything except for Luka. Anyone on the roster. And Tim McMahon was on Zach Lowe's podcast, Great Mavs Insider, despite not following me. And he went through a possible Mavs trade scenario with DFS.
They're not trading Dorian Finney-Smith by himself. If Dorian Finney-Smith gets traded, it's going to be Dorian Finney-Smith plus multiple picks, and it will be. They're not giving up Dorian Finney-Smith unless it is for the bona fide. This dude can be the co-star that Luka needs to compete for a championship. I doubt heavily that happens before this deadline, in part because they're handcuffed on picks.
Okay, so who else can we throw into a Dodo package?
I mean, it makes sense. Look, you can't trade Rodrigue Bobois for LeBron James. You can't trade Dorian Finney-Smith unless it's like a super stud, because he's just that critical, I guess. I do like hearing the report though that it's something where they recognize anybody but Luka's on the available for trade, because it's a very subtle acknowledgement that, yeah, the supporting cast is not good. We're literally willing to trade anybody. It will listen on anybody because you're not married to anyone. So for all of, you know, Cuban getting worked up about, you know, oh, this is disrespect to the organization and what we've built.
Take down that mural. Like, okay. Wash away that mural.
Yeah. I mean, look, that guy just made a mural. You're talking about trying to actively trade people. You're more disrupting their lives than the mural was. Smart. Come on.
Right. Yeah. And to answer the question, what else you got to give up with Dorian Finney-Smith? Like a lot. You got to give up a lot of other things to get somebody of substance. You know, I mean, you're not going to get a number two by giving up Dorian Finney-Smith and a one. All right. You're going to have to give up Finney-Smith, Hardaway. I mean, and like, that's still not going to get it done.
Thanks to Ruben Portillo. He is our new Mavs insider. He cut up this audio, and the one name on this sheet that's kind of jumping out, DeAndre Ayton?
Don't know. It is interesting. He's a name that I've heard around the Mavericks. And again, I think that would have to be a later than right now type of situation.
Well, that's interesting. That's interesting.
Yeah. And again, I think it gets down to this with going back to the Mavericks of, hey, they need to get a co-star, so who might be available? And, you know, do we like him as a fit with Luka? You can argue about paying a center that much in today's NBA who's not a primary offensive option, but he can certainly serve as the backbone of a defense. He's proven that. He is a skilled center who can, you know, he's not just a lob finisher. But, again, I think that's more than likely a down-the-road conversation. They are both represented by Bill Duffy. I think he would certainly be happy to have those guys teamed up together.
Ooh. Okay. I love that. What? Why are we making a stink face?
Get me another, like you lost Brunson. Like, and you were trying to find a better Brunson. Don't go find me a 28 minute a game center as like, this is our number two. I'm tired of like the guys they're associated with are always like, oh, they'd have interest this offseason in Rudy Gobert, and they'd have interest in DeAndre. And great, yeah, like improve your rebound and whatever else, but like give me somebody who actually like can create a shot.
DeAndre Ayton can score. Rudy Gobert
can't create
cannot.
A shot.
He can't create a shot, right. But you also, I think, have to bring someone in here who's okay with being like DeAndre Ayton. I think showed in the playoffs he's fine being he's a beta. Right, I don't know if you bring in another true. Well, he threw a hissy fit towards the end, but I didn't hear anything. He wasn't demanding the ball during games or like going off that we saw when the Mavs were eliminating them. What I'm trying to say is, do you have to bring someone in here that's okay with being a Robin choppy, a Robin personality versus another alpha?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I generally think that it's really difficult to have two of those on the same team now. I guess you could say LeBron and Wade were.
Yep.
And that Kobe and Shaq were.
Yep.
And now, LeBron and Wade lasted 4 years. Kobe and Shaq, I mean, they grew tired of each other. I think if you genuinely want to have that, you need a Jordan Pippen. You know, I think in general, like, you need someone who's like, you know, they're just like, whatever, okay. You know, they have that. You know, they want it, but they have that same attitude. Like, okay, I mean, like, I don't need. I'm not the alpha. I don't need it. So I think it's hugely important.
Who saw the cover of MLB The Show besides Choppy?
I did.
Peyton?
I did because RJ said something about it.
Okay. But. RJ, tell us who is on MLB. Is it MLB The Show?
It is MLB The Show. It dropped yesterday. Not the game, but the cover athlete dropped yesterday. And it is a 24-year-old. He'll be 25. Tomorrow. So happy early birthday to Jazz Chisholm. Now, if you don't follow Major League Baseball, you have no idea who this is. If you do follow Major League Baseball, you're like, that's a really interesting and outside the box, and I think a really good choice for MLB The Show, but you've never heard of him. That's the problem. He plays for the Miami Marlins. He is volunteered. He goes, if you can't find anybody to play center field, I'll play. He's currently a second baseman and a shortstop listed as on Baseball Reference. He's played both. He's a middle infielder. He goes, I'll play center. Need someone to play center? I got it. Dude's got blue hair. He is from the Bahamas. He is fun. He is flashy. The only thing he isn't is a household name. And, like, he's good, but, like, you know, I mean, honestly, he's really good. He's like his OPS plus, which is like basically the number is 100. Anything 100 is league average. So the number above that is your percentage above league average. So he's 39% above league average. That's fantastic. But he's not a household name. This is a sport that had Aaron Judge just hit 62 home runs. Bryce Harper was just in the World Series. Mike Trout was just in the Philadelphia Eagles game. Like this is a sport that's ripe with young stars that they can promote. They chose him. I like it. I think it's an outside-the-box choice. I think he's a really fun and engaging guy. But it's interesting because this is not going to move the needle nationally if you're not a baseball fan.
Is he the most unknown cover video game cover athlete ever? Peyton Hillis.
Peyton Hillis.
Did less people or more people know Peyton Hillis at the time?
Ooh.
I think more people know Jazz Chisholm. He was in the news a lot last year. I was sitting here just now trying to think, like, what's a comparison for, like in terms of just a personality and everything else in another sport? I can't come up with one. Like, somebody who's equal to, like, just his, like how his personality, his ability, I mean, the Marlins were holding team meetings last year to complain about how much they didn't like him.
Yeah, he's a bad boy. He's a bad boy.
He is. It's similar, and I know this is the second reference today, but, like, not that he's got the same off-field issues. It's kind of similar to if you made David Irving the cover athlete of Madden when he was really good.
Ooh.
I mean, David Irving is nowhere near as good as this cat, right?
No, but he was really good, and he was quirky, yeah. And he was just kind of this big personality, and he wasn't necessarily the name in the sport.
I love how you take all these shots at David Irving, meanwhile supporting Randy Gregory so much through thick and thin. I mean, they're basically the same person.
They are not.
Same exact thing, career, and you just loving, you love Randy so much and take shots at David.
not even close. One of them was coping. The other would, tell any sort of a practice injury lie to try and get a painkiller. So
877-881-1053, truckwreck.com, text line. Bobby's nemesis over at the four letter says the Cowboys are making a mistake letting Mike McCarthy call these plays. Next. Sean, RJ, and Bobby here on your home of the Rangers and America's team. It's DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. Choppy, close your ears because your man crush Brandon Staley apparently is hiring Kellen Moore to try to run the ball more. Last year, the Chargers called a designed pass on 68% of their plays, second highest rate in the NFL, only behind Tampa. The Cowboys called a design pass on 54%, sixth lowest rate in the league. Here's the quote that will devastate RJ. Brandon Staley, in terms of the passing game, that's what we've been able to do at a high level here for the last 2 years. But to be more explosive, you have to be able to run the football more consistently to put more pressure on people. The Cowboys, under Kellen, ranked 11th. An explosive play rate, 10%. The Chargers ranked 30th. So they want some more explosive plays, and Brandon Staley thinks they're going to have to run it more in L.A. after hiring Kellen Moore.
Man, you know, the interesting thing is that, and Brandon Staley is a very big analytics guy. Analytics will, they will throw a curveball at you every now and then. Like Billy Beane, right, who is like really at the forefront of this in baseball. 1 year, he's like, I want to get a bunch of guys who draw walks. Well, 5 years later, he was like, I'm done with guys drawing walks. I want to get guys who are defensive-minded or whatever. And then 5 years later, he changed up because he's looking for the market inefficiency. What is the most affordable thing on the market? Well, that's not what this is. This is just a guy, a coach, who's thinking we throw the ball too much. You know, I don't know what the right number is, the right number of pass to run. Is it 55%? Is it 65%? That's still something that they're working out. That's a very interesting thing for him to say. I don't hate it. I mean, you got to run the ball. I recognize you got to run the ball. I hate running on first down. But the only thing I hate running on more on first down than a run is a run on second and 10. You want to hack me off? Run that ball on second and 9. Oh, God, just kill me.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, it's – I don't know that there's – like you say, Chop, they haven't come up with the equation, like run it this many times, throw it this many times. I think it's more frustration with situations. Like, are you running the ball on second and 9? Are you running it consistently on first and 10? Are you putting your quarterback in third and 7 positions that are really difficult? That's where I think it's frustrating. And that's where I think there's got to be a little bit better – feel. If there's one thing I can criticize Kellen Moore for, I felt it seemed like he never had a good feel for the temperature of the game. Like it almost felt like when we'd see them committing to the run, it's like, what are they doing here? Why are they not taking advantage of some of this passing attack? And then there were other times where they were just trying to throw without success, and it's like, you know what, they're giving you these light boxes, why are you not trying to take advantage of this a little bit? Is that was my biggest thing. Is it felt like Kellen Moore would come in with a game plan and say, this is the game plan, this is what we're doing, this is what we're executing. We're doing it in all these types of situations, and this is the way. And there's no adjustment to how the game is playing out and reacting to those circumstances.
So now, is Mike McCarthy going to call the plays? Nick Eatman and Todd Archer sound a little hesitant in just saying that that's going to happen. Dan Orlovsky, Bobby Belt's favorite on ESPN, thinks that would be a mistake.
Let me say this about Dak Prescott and Mike McCarthy. Mike McCarthy's making this move because he thinks he's the only one who can fix Dak Prescott. That's simply put. Fix, get back to whatever we want to phrase it as. Yep. He thinks he's the only guy because he obviously doesn't think that Kellen Moore can take him to the next level. He doesn't think that anybody else who's available can take him to the next level. So it's the situation where my job is going to be dependent on how well the quarterback plays because the team is pretty darn good. And if the talent on defense stays there and if the quarterback plays up to some of the levels that he's played at, well, this is a team that can play with anybody in the NFC. So Mike McCarthy's sitting there going, I'm the only guy who can get it done, and the pressure's on.
So there's Orlovsky. Meanwhile, you want to respond to that or just mumble?
Not really. I mean, he's stupid. Like, I don't know what to say. Like, it's a little bit like, I don't want to say specifics because then we'll get in trouble. But, like, it's a little bit like a political individual, like any political individual, where it's like, in some instances, I may even agree with the argument you're making, but I know that you don't come to that conclusion the right way because you're dumb. And that's the same sort of thing with Orlovsky, that even if I come down on the same thing, I go, I know you came to it by dumb means, and so I still don't respect it even when you agree with me.
Yeah.
All right, what about this guy then? Friend of the show, Ross Tucker.
Ooh.
Putting the Cowboys on blast.
I literally LOL'd when I saw this. Mike McCarthy calling the plays? Does anyone, or hopefully everyone, remember what it was like in Green Bay the last time Mike McCarthy was calling plays? Kellen Moore is a top 10 offensive coordinator in the NFL. Kellen Moore had the Cowboys scoring all kinds of points, and they're not like loaded on offense. Kellen Moore is going to get hired by the end of the week by like the Chargers or the Bucks or someone. This is a joke. If I'm a Cowboys fan, I am absolutely terrified. I know a lot of you are glad Kellen Moore is gone because they didn't score very many points against the Niners. Guess what? The Niners defense is awesome. Did you see what Kellen Moore did the rest of the year? But this is the people, this is the way fans are. I don't like the offensive coordinator. The play calling's terrible. Careful what you wish for, Cowboys fans. I can almost guarantee it'll be worse next year.
Ooh.
Well look, that's strong.
It is. It is strong. The one thing is, like, look, of course, I mean, they scored almost 28 points a game. Like, the chances that it is worse next year are probably pretty good.
Yeah, and the chances that the Chargers' offense is a little bit better are pretty good.
Sure. Absolutely. There's no doubt about that. I mean, you got Herbert in an extra year.
If they can ever keep Keenan Allen out of the hospital, right. I mean, this guy can never stay healthy. If Brandon Staley decides not to put his number two receiver out there in a meaningless game and get his back broken, that could help as well.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's a good chance they score 26 a game next year, the Chargers do, which would be, what, 3-4 points more than they scored this year? I mean, that's a big jump. That's a really big, that's a 20%, 18% jump almost. That's a big, big jump year to year. So just like with Tom and Bill, when Bill had to break in a new quarterback after Tom left and Tom was going to go to a good team, we knew Tom was going to win the early part of that divorce. We know Kellen Moore is probably going to win the early part of this divorce. You know, like, they're probably going to, he's probably going to have a better first year than the Cowboys have a first year without him. Chances are the Cowboys aren't going to score more than 28 a game.
Matthew Berry's not a big fan at all.
Oh, yeah, the fantasy guru, the Washington fan weighing in.
Matthew Berry had listed off Kellen Moore's resume and was very complimentary, and then he followed up and he said, in Mike McCarthy's final 2 years in Green Bay, Packers were 18th in total yards per game, 16th in points per game, checks notes with Aaron Rodgers. And Rodgers' next two seasons without McCarthy, Rodgers won the NFL MVP in back-to-back years. In fact, McCarthy's last year in Green Bay, here is who Aaron Rodgers' supporting cast was. Davante Adams, Jimmy Graham, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, Randall Cobb, Jamal Williams, Aaron Jones. It's a good group.
It's a good group.
I'm trying to find excuses for Mike in Green Bay. I'm trying to rack my brain and be a, better call Chop, better call Saul, defense attorney. But we'll start with Aaron Rodgers as a pain in the ass. Aaron Rodgers probably thinks everyone is stupid. Aaron Rodgers loved Nathaniel Hackett, apparently, and that looks really dumb. So that's my initial excuse. I just hope that McCarthy is up to date with the times. I'm more worried about that than I am him fighting with Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Rodgers questioning Mike's capability, because Aaron Rodgers thinks everyone is stupid.
It was true. The field goal on the fourth down from a half foot. It was on, I was at the gym, I think it was on Friday, it was on the NFL Network, and here's the game, they're showing it, and it was the first quarter, it was the first possession of the game, It was the NFC Championship game, Packers at Seattle, and they marched right down the field to the half-foot line, and he kicks a field goal. And I guarantee you Aaron Rodgers, because they lost that game, because the Seattle fumbled the ensuing kickoff. This could have been a 14-0 game. I guarantee you Rodgers never forgave him for that. I guarantee you. And Rodgers will hold a grudge, and he will tune you out.
Didn't he call out LaFleur for a fourth down similar situation?
Basically the same thing.
The other thing we've learned over the years, every single team has these problems. Andy Reid has these game management. Sean Payton has these game management problems. I just hope McCarthy is up to date offensively with what's going on and can somehow change or improve Dak a little bit. That's going to be interesting to see.
We'll see if he can. If he can do the same thing. Yeah, I'll find out. If Dak can have, look, going and getting 2011 Aaron Rodgers is not going to happen.
Right.
Right, that's not going to happen. He's not going to be 15-1. But if he can harness somewhere between the end of the line of Rodgers and like what he was in like 2014, this team will be just fine.
Is Brock Purdy going to be missing some time to start next season? What actually happened to San Francisco's quarterback? And why won't this team let this guy leave? Plus, the biggest joke of a Pro Bowl selection in the history of football. Just get rid of the whole thing. Sean, RJ, and Bobby continuing on a Tolo Tuesday on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.